Last year, I travelled to Ethiopia with Orit Mohammed of Boom Coffee to follow the coffee trail from the Tadama region via Addis Ababa to the UAE. This time, I'm on a mission set by Honeyman Riyad Hamid, founder of Balkis Honey, to find Ethiopia's liquid gold, the white honey. The white honey is described as unique and one of the most flavourful honeys and is produced only in the very northern part of the country, in the mountains of Tigray, bordering Eritrea, at an elevation of 2,300 metres above sea level. Guided by Orit and her sisters, we spend time in the coffee houses of Addis Ababa before we take a flight north to Tigray and the city of Mekele, where we are met by Mr. Abera.
We've just arrived in Mekele, which is the northern part of Ethiopia. It's 800 kilometers from Addis Ababa, about 800 kilometers. This is where the white honey is from. So we're here. And now we're traveling to Wagro, which is a little further up north, about 50 kilometers from Mekele, further north. That's where the farm is. The farmers are.
My name is Abera Gabramlak. I have been working in JICA for the last 4 years. My profession is animal production, so I work on honeybee production, dairy, fattening, poultry, and so on. So we will see one of the known honey producer farmer, Mr. Alomo. After we see the honey store, the house, and how he market, what is the quality of the honey, we will go to the apiary. Then we will see how the bees are managed, what type of vegetation are around, we will see.
We've come a long way to find the white honey, so we're very excited today.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know how special your white honey is?
Well, as to our understanding, what makes special is the flora, from where the bees collect, also the weather, because moisture content of the honey is very low, so the area here is has a low moisture content, and the area, as you can see, the humidity is low, so because of that, it's with low moisture content, and the vegetation type, they are very special. Adapted to the arid area, that's make a difference.
We drive for about an hour over rough roads through the thirsty landscape, a very different outlook to the fertile green prospect of the coffee plantations in the south. Ethiopia accounts for 24% of African honey production, but it's the white honey that people get excited about, and as we near the remote area of Wukoro, the anticipation rises. We stop, get out of the car, and enter a modest house to be greeted by children and their mother, the Alumno family, minus their father, who's busy with the bees. They lead me to a dark, dry room.
Oh, I can smell it.
This is a honey store. So the farmer keeps his honey in this room. So as you can observe, the room has special aroma, full of honey aroma. The aroma is very nice, as you can feel.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's in like big tubs, blue
jerry cans.
Can we open it? Let's have a look inside.
This one, it is a filtering can. So when the raw honey comes, it will be filtered through this and be kept in the barrels, as you can see, in the blue barrels.
So it goes through the silver can, filters through into the blue cans, and then we've just opened.
This is the raw.
This is
the forest filtered with the wax.
But this is the white honey.
Yes.
This is the white honey. Oh my goodness, right. So I'm going to taste the white honey raw for the first time. This. That's absolutely sweet, but wow, that is incredible tasting. In here,
this is a crude one, which means honey mixed with wax.
Okay.
So the wax is not separated from the pure honey. When we say filtering means removing the wax from the honey through this can.
Okay, so this is with the wax then. I'm going to taste this one.
Yes.
You have a taste, Orit. What do you think?
Very nice, chewy, a bit chewy. So you can feel the wax a little bit. So
yeah, you can, but it's almost like a candy, isn't it?
Yes, candy. Gum. Very nice gum. Very nice.
And made of all good stuff.
Yeah. Mm. It's surprisingly, it's less sweet than the processed honey, because I guess the wax is helping the sweetness, reduce the sweetness.
Yeah. Yes, you are right. You need volume of honey if there is wax. So it will compete with pure honey taste. So that's why it's a bit less sugary.
What happens after this then? So you've filtered the honey, it's gone into the cans, it's separating the wax from the raw honey.
After the filtering is done and the pure honey is separated, he keeps in the blue barrels. Then these are ready for market. So the pure ones kept in the barrel are already ready for market. So he sells depending on the demand of the customers. If the customers need a big one, they can buy as full barrel, or they can buy just in small quantity, 1 kilogram, 3, 5 kilogram, depending on their need.
How many years has she been working with the honey?
هندي عملت أوزي نهري معار مبال هندي عملت غيرهم.
بتسعة حريم مكرنا.
She started in 1998.
What does she think about the honey?
بزعبا ذا سرح خزي بزعبا معار تايسم معك نتاي تولي.
كسي لأن بتعمي حقوس. حدا هاجريت صوع الله هل أي دماء بقى بعد درجة صوع سلم نيتوبيا معرف بهالسلم بتعمي حقوس دسي لني.
I like the work. I like just this honey. So I am very much happy by being involved on honey production because of one, I earn income money. I feel also when people say this is honey from Tigray, honey from Ethiopia, honey from Wokro, I feel proud.
How do you say white honey in your language?
Locally, white honey is called Sa'da Ma'ar. Sa'da means white. White honey is very attractive. So people like it. It has good taste. It has good attraction. So white honey has a good impression. But in relation to its content and value, as to even red honey is also good. The only thing what makes difference the white one is it just is for attraction.
That's it looks nice. But it has very creamy. It's a very creamy taste for sure.
When we need to eat honey, we just sometimes, if it is raw, we simply eat like what we are doing now. But if it is processed, we can eat with bread, dressed with bread, also in milk, cooked like, in soup, we put in soup. So we put in different food materials.
How do you feel if the bees were taken away?
Taken away?
If there were no bees here?
We feel sad. Yeah. Whenever sometimes the colony went out absconding, so when we see such thing, we feel sad. So we will try to replace it. We'll try to get another colony. So yeah, it's not good. Not having honey, not having bee is not good.
And the children, are they eating the honey? You like the honey?
Yes.
Yes.
What's your name?
What's their name?
My name is Nadira.
Do you like the bees?
Yes.
Yes.
Why is the white honey white?
Flower. Different flower.
Different flowers. And the white flowers.
The flower that helps the bees to make white honey. They are white. The flower, they are in color, very white.
Honey in Ethiopia is a traditional delicacy, served steamed with white bread as a festival meal and used to make tej, a honey wine. It's a critical source of income for the region and producers sell the honey in local markets. In Wukro, in the home of the Alumno family, and learning about the precious white honey. They're one of the families supported by Slow Food International, who are helping small beekeeper farmers and families out of poverty and preserving the traditional practices of beekeeping and helping with the marketing of the product. Mr. Albera explains more about the practice.
Yeah, you can see these two containers. This smaller barrel has honey, which is yellow in color, but it is not solid. It is a bit liquid.
It's runny, isn't it? The liquid is running.
Yes. And this one, the same color, but it is become solid. So why the difference comes is because of age. This is stored for longer time. This is fresh. So after a time, this will be also solidified to be like this. Otherwise, they are the same.
And then it's just about personal preference. Some people like the honey harder. Some like it clear and runny.
Yes. Depending on their preference, they can buy. But as far as it is stored, it is unavoidable to be solid.
It is... amazing. It says, do you live here? Is this your house?
زي
على بين أيها إننا جنوزيم هلا يمكن أقل إنسان حلا نعلم بس رسول هذا كم إننا نعيش في الجزء.
We live in the same building, but the rooms are different. This one is completely reserved for honey store. No one will sleep here. No one stay here. So just this is purely for honey.
This is the honey store.
Yes.
But you do live in the building. Do you know where this honey will go?
This stored honey that you can observe now will not stay until end of June. It will be finished. Then new product will come after that. So as to my experience, this will be finished until June. Then the customers mainly... For this, local people, just Ethiopians in Addis Ababa, Mekele, and from abroad, Italy, Germany, and even people from America, tourists, Latin America, come and buy from this. So tourists have information about our honey. They come and they buy.
But it'll have the stamp, will it, of Meleke on it to know it's from here, the honey. What's the name of this place?
Wukro. So Wukro honey. They say it has level, so it says Wukro honey.
Riyad Hamid, founder of Balqis Honey Dubai, distributes raw Yemeni honey. He's known as the honey man of the UAE. So from one honey man to another.
So this is the honey man.
Yes. Very much busy man.
Yeah. How much honey do you think is in this room?
Her estimation is to be about 25 quintals of honey.
25 quintal?
Yes.
What's quintal?
Quintal means, which means 1 quintal is 100 kilogram. So 25 quintals means 2,500
kilograms. 2,500 kilograms of honey in your front room, which is the honey store. Amazing.
So he say... the pure honey, which is filtered, is estimated to be about 2,800 kilogram, and the crude one is about 200 kilogram. In general, about 3,000 kilogram. This one is not very white, but it categorized as white. So when you see the pure white is more white than this, it looks like snow. So this one is not...
It's a little yellowy, little tiny bit of yellow. Yeah.
But the taste is good.
Very nice.
So the reason it's a little bit more yellow...
Usual type of flowers are not available this year because of the drought. They are a bit drought sensitive. They need more water. So because of this, the flower which helps to be white honey, we are not available this season. That's why this is a bit yellowish.
So does that affect the price?
Price not affected because production is low. So to compensate and to satisfy their need, people buy for a bit expensive price. So price is not reduced, but only the color white. Also, production is reduced this year. They didn't harvest as much as the previous year's production.
Do they live a long life because they have so much good honey?
Yes.
You look very well. You do, really. I'm very happy.
Long life. Doctor,
I believe that we will stay longer because when we eat honey, we feel happy. And from my observation, in our family, starting my children, my wife, me, we don't face any cold, any fever, some infectious disease, something. We are free. So because of this, I hope we will stay longer.
Did he always work with bees? Did he always work with honey?
Start of Before our children grow, me and my wife together, we're working even in the farm outside. She assisted me. She assisted me on preparing the honey material, wax processing, harvesting. So we work together. Now, my children grow and started to assist me. So we change the division of labor. She will work in the store. We work outside. So my children are involved, fully involved on the beekeeping. So all family members do share the skill, the knowledge together. So just it is a family ownership. All the family participate on this.
With fond farewells to the alumno family and armed with tubs of white honey, I head higher to where, according to local saying, the mountains gather for a meeting and get to see the bees in their hives, the source of sweetness. Join me there in a few moments. I'm in one of the remotest parts of northern Ethiopia, seeking out the white honey to take back to the UAE. As the gauntlet was laid down by Riyad Hamid, founder of Balkis Honey, to find this pure honey and learn more about the practices. So armed with my gifts from the alumno family in Wukoro, I'm introduced to Mr. Gabru, who takes me to see his hives way high up in the mountains. This has to be one of the most beautiful drives. Although rough, going in his jeep, he took me high above the arid landscape to a more greener and temperate environment.
So our technician, his name is Yamane.
Hi, hello, Mr. Farmer.
Our farm is started from 2007, Ethiopian calendar. But we have in this farm is 1 year only. I have 58 box B.
It's beautiful air. We're really high up, over 2,000 meters. So you're known in Ethiopia. The company is Dima.
Dima Beekeeping and Honey Process Company.
Yeah. One of the biggest beekeeping farms.
Yeah. And even our company, processing company, is the biggest from Ethiopia. Yeah.
So when we're in Addis Ababa and we pick up a jar of honey that has Dima written on it, it's come from here.
Yeah, from here. We take it from here up to Addis Ababa and we distribute every supermarkets, and we export even China, Sudan, Saudi Arabia, and Yemen. Our honey is white honey. It's organic white honey.
Well, the environment looks beautiful. The air is gorgeous. We're right at the top of this mountain going, and it's quite green here. You've got the trees, bushes. It's beautiful. So this is a gorgeous environment for the bees.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go and see the bees then.
Okay.
Gabriel has a different vision. He's ex-military and has bought the land from the government. Dima is the biggest producer of honey in Ethiopia and distributes to the supermarkets of Addis and beyond. The bees on this beautiful canvas are guarded 24 hours a day by armed men. That's how valuable a commodity the liquid gold is.
You can hear the buzzing as we're getting closer. Yeah. So how many colonies do you have? How many bees here?
We have 60.
So that's 60 colonies?
Yeah.
Wow, what a sight. Beautiful. So how many bees would be in the colony?
It's a lot.
Yeah, thousands.
By thousands, yeah, really. Thousands.
Amazing. So how many boxes have you got here?
We have 60 boxes, but now 60 boxes. After 6 or 8 months, we get 1,000 boxes, yeah. That's our program.
So it's a growing business?
Yeah, yeah.
It's lucky to get stung, right? There's a bee there on the flower.
Yeah, on the flower, yeah.
So he's busy, he's a worker.
Yeah, he's work.
And he's taking the pollen. And then he will go into the box.
Yeah. Yeah, living in the box and collect from here up to box to the honey.
And so how long does it take in the box before you take the honey away? How long for the honey to be made?
Maybe two months or 3 months only.
Okay, so it's a little bit of time.
If the season is good, there is flower and rain is raining, maybe after 2 or 3 they are produced.
The saying busy bee, buzzing bee, but busy bee, because they are incredibly busy, aren't they? They're constantly going, especially when the weather's like this, so nice and fresh and sunshine, clean air.
Yeah.
They're going, collecting the pollen, then they go into the box and the honey starts to be made. Can I go a bit closer? Can I go closer?
No.
Yeah?
No.
No.
Yeah.
I can't go any closer, I'll get stung. Oh, it's very, very peaceful here, isn't it? It's beautiful to see nature completely. Yeah. It's just nature. A source of which comes to our palate, completely pure.
Yeah, really.
Something's just gone in my shoe. What? So what they're gathering now, the bees, we can see them.
Yeah.
There's another one on the tree.
Yeah.
We'll be ready to harvest in May, June time.
Yeah.
And then from there, you take the honey to...
Mekelle. First, we take it from the company, the fabric, from here to Adigrat. After that, packed by 0.5 kilo, 1 kilo, 2, 3 kilo. And then we take the Addis around the world.
And the government are realizing how valuable this honey is to the economy.
Still young, but after a time, maybe we support.
More people need to taste it.
Yeah.
It's a very beautiful place. What an amazing place. Wow, we are literally the cloud. We're in the clouds. The clouds are coming in.
Yeah.
We are, I can feel the...
It's good for honey and for flower even.
Yeah, because you can feel the moisture coming.
Yeah, moisture is good.
Okay, so I'm now going to take a little video of the bees on the flower.
It's good.
Gabriel's passion and love of the land is as apparent as Mr. Alumno's, but clearly he has more resources and money. Having said that, the more boxes he has, 1,000 plus, the more jobs there will be for the local people. From the tips of the mountains, we travel the arduous journey back down to Mekelle, but not before Mr. Gabru insisted I climb one of the rock-hewn churches northern Ethiopia is known for. The oldest ones date back to the 6th and 7th century BC. From the big operation to the grassroots, and I'm reunited with Mr. Abira, who takes Orit, her sister Anan, and I to visit the hives of Mr. Alumno, just outside Mekelle. Supported by Slow Food International, the setting may not be as picturesque as Mr. Gabru's beehives, but working nevertheless. Mr. Abira explains the workings of the hives, the bees, and the honey-making process.
They gather just the flower, the nectar, and the pollen, just as it is a natural process. The bees know how to pick, they know naturally. So they pick the pollen, the nectar, they synthesize by their own natural process. The bees gather by their hind legs. After that, they have proboscis. They have their natural bodies.
So it's like regurgitating out of certain...
Yeah, it chews, then it is digested. So it put in the honeycomb.
And the honeycomb is what they're doing that within the boxes that you're providing?
Yes, that's they put in the box. The bees do have different division of labor. One gathers from the flower. It gives to the other who are called workers. They again synthesize in the comb. They do different processes. So some of them put for wax, make for wax. Others, the pure honey in the wax. And they have a division of labor.
It's really clever, isn't it? That's nature. So within a colony of bees, yes, there is division of labor.
Yes. Division of labor. So some of them, they are soldiers, protect the environment. Some of them are workers gathering the flower. Some of them bring water into to make it in a normal structure. And others also, the queen is again the one who organizes everything together.
And the queen's the boss.
Yeah, the queen is the boss. So because of that, they are well organized. Because of this, they keep their division of labor to produce the honey. Yeah, they do. So this is one of the natural behavior of the bees. This natural behavior has to be kept. It should not be disturbed, should not be modified. So that's what natural mean. Without the interference of man, they make honey in there. They select a place, any hole, any vacuum can be occupied by bees in the ground, in the bark of the trees. So without the interference of human being, they keep this natural process. They produce honey.
Do they eat honey?
The queen eats honey because if it is hungry, they provide food from the honey. The honey is mostly reserved for her, but man take. This is man is looting that product by force. Otherwise, they produce for them.
Orit and Hanan have already got their kit on, so they've got their protective outfit with the hat and the net around the face, long sleeves. Mm-hmm. Well, you look like beekeepers, sort of spaceman beekeepers. So I'm going to also wear one.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. They're all trying to get in. If you open that up, they're all in there. So do they go in and out at different times, or is there a cycle to the day that they will go into the hive and out of the hive?
This one, for example, you can see, this is an indication of strength. This colony is now strong enough because the hive is full, because it is full, many bees are just waiting out. If you compare with others, where there are no bees at the gate, which means there is room inside, so all get inside. But
why don't these go to the other hive where there's the gate is open?
Because this is full of honey and bees, So there is no adequate space inside.
But why don't these bees that are all on the outside trying to get in go to one of the other boxes where there is room?
No. There is boundary. Bees cannot be mixed like people who are just...
It's tribal, is it?
Yeah. There is no passport to go to another hive. They don't allow. They need passport. So, yeah. They know where their hive is. All this you can see, all they know, they are queen. There is territory. So you need a visa to get into another, which cannot be given.
So what will happen to these bees then now this is full of honey and they can't get inside?
I think the manager should add an additional box or should move some honey from it to
allow it.
Yeah.
Are we able to look inside or not?
No. Now it's not possible. And it needs also permission of the person. Otherwise, if we open this, they will take the honey. They will eat all the honey because they know that people will take our honey. So they will eat and put inside. It will be disturbed.
I know it's high security. Yeah. So from the bees taking the pollen and the nectar, taking it to their hive, the segregation of roles and work, all working under the queen, and the honey forms. Now, as I understand it, it can take about 3 months, is that right, for the honey, for them to fill their box, to fill the hive with honey?
You cannot put formula of time interval. It is matters the flower. So, for example, if we take honey from this, and if there is a good flower, it can fill within a week. So you can harvest, especially from the modern beehive. This is a wooden type where there is no breakage of the wax, the mold. You can harvest every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks. But if there is no flower, you have to keep 6 months or even a year. So the matter is the flower, intensity, availability of the flower.
How do you harvest and get it to the barrels that we saw earlier?
At the beginning, I have to have a smoker. I will arrange smoker.
What is a smoker? What does that entail?
Yeah, in this smoker is it is a small can and spring box-like small material. You fill some charcoal-like and you burn that one. So you just do like this. Fill air, give oxygen. So when the charcoal or the dung, we use mostly dung, animal dung. So when the animal dung is burned, it produces smoke. So when I push this, the smoke will go to the bees. They don't like smoke. So when they see the smoke, they will go.
Leave the hive a
little
bit.
Yeah, they will
move away a little bit.
Yeah, they will leave. Then I open the cover. After I open the cover, I also continue pushing the smoke. They will go down. So the top one, where the frames of the honey are there, then I will one by one remove the mold, this frame. I put in the centrifugal equipment. So when I put there and I rotate, the centrifugal force removes the honey and leaves as it is the comb.
So what does it look like inside the box? You've got layers of frames.
You've got frames.
And within the frames is the honeycomb, and they've made the honey within that.
Yes.
So you lift those out,
yes,
and you use the little equipment to turn the honey out of the comb,
yes,
and then put it back into the hive.
Yes.
And then when you've taken all their honey away, you've stolen all the bees' honey.
That is, yeah.
Just like a bear stealing the honey from the pot.
Really,
So Winnie the Pooh.
The queen will feel hungry.
Yeah.
And the workers will work hard again to bring another. So to feed the queen. This is the cycle.
I've fallen into a welcome honey trap after Riyad Hamid of Balkis Honey sent me on a mission to Ethiopia to find the precious white honey. My guide is Orit Mohammed of Boone Coffee, native to Ethiopia but residing in the UAE, providing fine coffee to our cups fresh from her homeland. On returning to Addis, armed with our honey, we meet with Zerihan Desalin, managing director of Humpty. Emulating the slow food movement and supporting small farmers in the beekeeping community in rural areas, Humpty is a cooperative, and I ask Zerihan how he helps promote the honey and how Humpty compares to slow food.
I would like to say thanks to Slow Food because I got this idea from Slow Food, which is creating some kind of networking with the community. From that, I start to build my company to involve for, Slow Food is a kind of network. They don't have a legal kind of office here in Ethiopia. Just we are doing as a network with them to make it more reality. To make it more strong in the country, I decided to build my company.
What Slow Food does is they want to preserve the natural methods and techniques. So in this case, we're talking about beekeeping, and to help the small farmer, the small beekeeper, to be able to produce their product and find a network to sell their product. They help with that, and that's the same as what you're doing.
Yeah, Slow Food is given at the beginning. They give us a kind of training, creating some kind of network with Italian beekeeper and Ethiopian beekeeper. That gave us a lot of opportunity for our beekeepers, especially to see the rest of the world, how they manage to make it a kind of income generating from the beekeeping. Because Ethiopia is a tribe by tradition where the 3000 history, which is connected also with the beekeeping. The movement Slow Food also, respecting the culture, respecting the nature, respecting the resource that we have to keep and to preserve it. So thanks to the philosophy of Slow Food that we managed to integrate this idea, and with the formation we managed to change the mentality of the people also to respect, to follow the idea that we need.
When we're looking at white honey, and we were there in the Tigray region, and you connected us with some local beekeepers there, and it was an amazing experience. But just to understand, for a start, why you wanted to do this and what you feel about beekeeping and honey.
White honey that you find it in Tigray is really particular, because not only for the color, because the color you can find it in all over Ethiopia, but the white honey that you find it in Tigray is particularly different from the rest of the region because of the plant that you find it in the region. So Slow Food try to make it, we call it like a presidium, to give more value for the plant or the product that you find it in the region. We managed to reach in the smaller community, which is close to Mekelle, like 50 kilometers far from Mekelle. It's the place called Wukro. We managed to build a kind of community. They were at the beginning 70, involving all the family. These all are the honey producers.
So 70 families?
Yes.
And do you keep bees?
Yeah, I have here. Unfortunately, since I'm living in the capital city, it's very difficult to keep. But I have my own farm in the south part, in the southwest also, my own beehives as well. And I'm involving just by fascinating bees.
What is the fascination with bees?
The life of the bees is connected with the human being. So working together, helping each other, and giving us also life for the others. As the historical, when you see the bees, they are giving so many things for the human. So if you talk about the scientifics, if the bees they are not around, maybe the human being, they might be living for a short time.
Because of pollination, it's the bees who pollinate all our plants here. This is one of the main reasons.
In the Western world, what we saw it, you pollinate from place to place. I mean, when you find a fruit, you can pollinate in the area. Here also, maybe we don't have that much technology, the possibility and the infrastructure to do that, that kind of things. But since the bees, they move from place to place, from 3 to 10 kilometers, we're trying to keep that method also for the moment to pollinate the area.
Nature, it's about growth, nurturing, fertility, medicine, healing, huge healing benefits from natural honey. Everything else, there's so many things connected with honey and therefore bees.
Well, cultural in Ethiopia, yes, because from our grandparents, they used to use the honey as a kind of also good luck for the future. When the children, they grown up, they, if they move to the university or to somewhere to study, the family, they can give them with a sack two things. It's wheat flour and some honey. That shows.
For weddings in almost all the cultures in Ethiopia, they give you honey. And I know for our culture, they give you honey. When the groom leaves, the mom gives him a spoonful of honey, so he will be sweet. That's the perception. But they give honey when you get married. The families give honey. The honey plays a big part in our culture for everybody. Even when you're asking a girl, the gift you give is honey. So honey plays a major part in the culture of Ethiopia.
What do you call it in your language, honey? How does it translate?
Mar.
Mar. Yeah, and mar. What's bees?
Nib.
We even have names like Marwalala, Marai. It's a very common name. It's a term of endearment, just like honey. So we use that kind of endearment terms too. As you see, all over the world, honey is revered as a good product. So honey is used a lot here.
So as much as I've been talking and focusing and we have on the northern part of Ethiopia and the white honey, of course there is honey all over Ethiopia, but the different kinds of honey, so the red honey and...
Yeah, for example, in our community that we involve in the region, we got like seven type of honey. And then these seven type of honey, they have each of them, they have different taste, color, the contents that has inside. But in as a country, we have got a lot of type of honey.
And what about the types of bees?
Actually, in Ethiopia, we got like six type of bees. And then we consider them actually the Western. They consider the African bees. They are very aggressive. I don't know how it is, but ours is there are six type of honey bees. You can find them in the different region, in different places.
And in the Tigray region, there's two types of bees.
Yes, the yellow one and the black one.
And they're producing the white honey because of the flower.
Yes.
And what are the flowers for the white honey? Do you know?
The local language we call Soakern Tabe. Soakern, there are different types of, how do you call it, plants that you mix the honey white.
And people were saying to me in Tigray that people want this honey because of the colour. Yes, the flavour is lovely, but it's about the colour. This is what originally has been the attraction to this type of honey.
It's true. It's true, I agree. Because if you really you see it, you find the colour is very white. As I said, you can find a less white one. Like if you go to in the Borana on Guji zone or in the western part, you find it. But the colour is very high, I mean very white.
But it's not only white, it's very creamy. It's almost like a cream instead of... What makes it different is it's a much creamier honey. It almost feels like you're spreading like a cream cheese or something. It's very creamy, very white. And the taste is not so potent. It's lighter. The taste is much lighter. So it's a really nice honey, especially to have for breakfast or something. It's a light honey. It's not a strong, pungent taste.
How do you like to have your white honey? What would you use your white honey for in cooking or in food?
Myself, I like to use the... When I drink the tea or coffee, I like to have this white honey always. Because I believe also it's a kind of medicine. So it gives also energy in the morning. We feel also, you know, more relaxed. It gives you, I don't know...
Gives you wings.
Yeah.
Like the bees.
Yeah, you can fly like bees.
So you have this beautiful natural product. Who can access this product? So as we discovered up in Mekele and with the family, and that for local consumption, for the farmers, for the people in their town or village, people can access this honey, and many people keep bees. But how do we take this product further, and how easy is that? Where are you at the moment currently with regards to trade and even exporting of white honey?
That's a good point, because you know at the beginning they were very small scale, and we managed to give them some different kind of training. As you see now, they managed to reach in this level. For the future, we would like to focus on the marketing, especially for the exporting, but which is not easy. I mean, for us, even for them also, is very big challenge to afford to take this action. So I don't know exactly when we will manage, but we are on the process to approach this plan.
Mr. Allen was explaining that, you know, he has that and his wife were explaining that the honey has reached different places in the world, but the reason is because of the few tourists that have come to that part of Ethiopia and are able to buy it and take it back to their homeland. It's not because it's being exported.
Actually, that area, they are very lucky, you know, people that are coming from all over the world as a tourist. And thanks to Slow Food also, they promote this connection, this network. So whoever comes to visit in Tigray, they will go to Atolem's house. It's a kind of shop. So people, they talk about these products, but it's not easy to reach. I remember 2 years ago, I was in Germany in Stuttgart to participate the food fair exhibition, and people were surprising. They asked me, why don't you open the show, why don't you try? I told them, look, we are very small skill, and then it's not easy for us to get also the certification. Other things is one of our big challenge, so I cannot say like I'm going to open next year, but still we're in the process to satisfy the demand that we have in the world.
For pictures and information, check out the blog at dubaieye1038.com/special-features. Talking to Zerihan, Managing Director of Humpty, about the challenges in exporting honey overseas, and I ask Orit to draw on her experience with Boone Coffee as she imports into the UAE.
It's always hard for the small farmers to export the products, and for the link for the buyers also to find these farmers. Slow Food has done a great job linking these the farmers with the buyers, but still in a very small scale. So even with coffee, we've had a lot of challenges when you're dealing with small farmers, because farmers are not able to export. It would require a lot of bureaucratic paperwork, and also the export licenses and a lot of things that they're not able to do at that scale. However, with the coffee, luckily, we can go through the co-ops or the unions, which have become very strong, because coffee is exported much more than honey. But you know, 20 years ago, coffee was exactly the same place. The great coffee was still here in Ethiopia. However, people didn't realize, and people weren't taking it out. As soon as people discovered, slowly, a lot of the NGOs have helped with this effort. This is one of the things that helped Ethiopia is moving, developing, is that as soon as people realize that what products are here, that the exporting will become easier and easier. The more people want it, it'll be easier. So with honey, I feel like it's just behind the coffee. People, as soon as they realize what great product it is, sooner or later it will start moving. It's just that right now the marketing has been done for the Ethiopian honey, and it's going to come. But when it comes, the farmers are still there and still being able to make a living, because the less money the farmers make, they will switch to something else. And right now, there's a big effort with the government with trying to keep them still making bees and making a living. So as Slow Food did, when he said 70 families, that's a lot of families to live in one small village making a living out of honey. So this is making a big difference.
And what's the volume of honey? Do you have an idea of how much honey is being produced?
Yeah, with this community, every year, of course, you know, that area sometimes is affected with the drought also. But if the season is good, they can provide like 10 or 15 quintals per year. Yeah, we're estimating around 20 tons per year.
Just from that community?
Yes.
Of 70?
Yes. Yeah, from one community from this area.
You could see the development of that community. We noticed that even the children were dressed properly, and the houses are instead of small huts, they're building, you know, they're building from bricks. So it's nice to see that the farmers' lives have changed. In that community, we could see a big difference from other communities in the surrounding area.
I agree with her, because at the beginning, these people were this. They are living like any of Ethiopians, with the huts, let's say, in poor condition. Right now, they managed to change their life, and they managed to change also the area. They become a good example for the Bukro area. So I'm well proud also to reach in this level.
I think that's really important to highlight. It's literally from the grassroots up, and as this product becomes, and it's, you must have seen this with the farmers, the coffee farmers, as it's become more open and available and popular, but you want the people that are growing it to benefit and not for it to be taken into the big corporations, which of course is part of it. And there's, let's face it, coffee, honey, you've got enough of it here in Ethiopia to really go around, haven't you?
Yes, we do have the coffee, the honey, you know, we have other agricultural products, sesame seed, a lot of things. Because Ethiopia is still farming in the old traditional way, a lot of it still has maintained that natural state, hence with honey and coffee. But the more people are aware of it, the more people want it, so it'll be easier to export it out. So with coffee, it has grown tremendously, especially specialty coffee. In Ethiopia now, when you come, most of the coffee is classified as specialty coffees because the farmers have done a great job planting it, growing it, you know, taking care of it. And when you see small farmers, how much they care about their plants, you realize why it is so special. Instead of, you know, commercial farming, this is very different kind. The honey, when we go to Ato Alam's house, he was very passionate. It wasn't just him, his children, his wife, it's all involved. They were so glad we were there. They wanted to show off their honey. They wanted us to see this. And it's because they're very proud of their work. And they work, he was in the farm when we came in. They had to call him. So this is something, when people work hard like this, with love, with passion, it pays off at the end. And it's due time for them to be paid off.
And we want to, as the consumer, have that connection with the source, you know, and be able to see the traceability and go back to source. We feel better about what we're buying when we know where it's come from, I think.
Even on the consumer side, now people are more aware of where their food is coming. They're asking more questions. I know for coffee now, even in the last 5 years, 4 years since I've started Boon Coffee, people are asking me more questions. Where is this from? How is the farmer's life? How is this affecting Ethiopia? So people care where their food is coming. It's fine. People are deciding to choose better. They're not now just choosing coffee or honey or any product for just because it's lower price or something. They want to know the story. How is it affecting the community it's coming from? And this is, I think, Slow Food, one of the major organizations that's doing a great job. The movement is helping a lot of people, other movements like that, to know where your food is coming from.
I remember some years ago, we used to participate different bazaars when the embassy organized, or different organization, when they organize some kind of event, they invite us. Always they ask us, how you are sure about this honey, how, if it is organic? Or tell them, I mean, look, come and visit us, and you can see the way we work, we do whom, how. After that, you can understand, you can see the traceability, how we are sure. I agree with you, so it's very important for the consumer.
This is, of course, raw honey in its purest form, pure honey. So it's organic. It's organic. You can't be using pesticides on the plants because the bees won't survive. So this is, in its essence, beekeeping and the production of honey is completely natural before man even interferes in that or gets involved in that. So that's the way it is. However, one of your challenges for Ethiopian honey to export it out of the country as an organic product is if you're going into other markets, there's certain certification that you need to have, which is right, you know, in you're using different or taking organic products from around the world, you want to be confident that what you're having is organic. But it's a real challenge for you, isn't it? Because the legislation and the bureaucracy to get what is already pure and organic to get that certification outside.
Yeah, we find this point is very complicated for us because, you know, we are sure about our product, but it's not enough that. So we need to make it more tangible. And this tangible also is very important to get the certification, because what I said, if the paper also can talk about me, people, they can believe it. So to provide this certification for us is one of our big challenges. I don't know how we will manage, but we are hoping in somehow to get the certification that can give our more guarantee for our product.
With the certification of organic certification and fair trade certification, the intentions are always good, started off good, but it comes when it comes to the farmers getting these certified, because it costs thousands of dollars for small-scale farmers, it's nearly impossible to be certified. Same with coffee, same with a lot of products in Ethiopia. Therefore, the only way sometimes for coffee to be certified had to come to be with the co-ops or from the union, the farmer unions. But that also has its challenges of traceability and all that. So for small-scale farmers, it's always nearly impossible to get certification because they have to pay upfront thousands of dollars, and that they, most farmers don't have.
Anyone who can collaborate with us, always we are ready. Thanks to also, the, of course, in a different region, they are trying to help us. The government, the organization, it still is not easy to find out. We are trying our best.
Understanding the quality of what you're buying, and I've heard in some cases it's been known sugar can be added to honey to speed up the process so you can produce more.
When you go around, you can find different kind of honey. But I remember some last year there was a meeting for a producer, for exporter, or different people. They were mentioning about this adulteration because, you know, the middleman always there trying to get their profit. And then there are some farmers also, you know, if you get money soon or we pay you this one and they try to give whatever we give you. So one of the this way they told us sometimes they give the sugar or different kind of it's a kind of which is really contaminated. For this reason sometimes you can find the difference of the price in the local market. And then the other thing is ours, for example, as idea or as a philosophy that we say we need not only business, we need to work with the community, we need to give the value for the community to develop and to change their life. So comparing to the others, honey, ours, the people, they said it's a bit expensive, but there is also big connection, which is with the family, with the local community. It's integrating this also.
You can connect with Zirahan and Humpty. All details are on the Dubai Today page at DubaiEye1038.com. Back in Addis Ababa with Orit Mohammed of Boom Coffee. And we head to Trieste, a newly opened coffee shop with a great vibe. And I talk to some of the locals about the food culture of Ethiopia. And of course, along with honey and coffee.
Most people, they eat kutfo. No, like the south. Yeah, they eat kutfo. The south. Kocho. Like a false banana, they call it ocho with kitfo. It's like minced red meat, yeah, and with some butter and what do you call it, mitmita. There is peppers, like jalapeno peppers. They prepare.
So it's quite spicy.
They're very spicy. Yeah.
So it's meat with the peppers.
Yeah. After that, you will have the honey. They go perfectly with that.
Yeah, but 95% of Ethiopians eat vegetarian. So I would recommend vegetarian food, like lentils and the potatoes and the peas and whatever vegetarians love should try Ethiopian food. That's what I highly recommend. Very fresh, and plus we're very creative with our spices and we have spicy food, so we are creative about it, yeah.
Now, is there a spice that I may not have heard of? Do you have a spice or a herb that's coming out from Ethiopia, from the land, that would be something different for us?
I have, but I don't know the name in English. I'm trying to figure it out. There is a spice. I think, I'm not sure which category it would be. Basobala.
Baso.
Basobila. Basobila, I think, I don't know if it's in the sage family or something.
And now the honey. Tell me, what's your favorite honey?
My favorite honey comes from Wenchi. It's medicinal. It's made out of koso. Koso is used when one has tapeworm. That's my favorite because it really, you can eat it like a peanut butter because it's so tasty.
What about white honey? Do you have white honey?
In the northern part, but I've tried it. It's very tasteful, and I think it has become one number one seller because of the white creamy honey. Koso is originated in Ethiopia as well.
What is koso? It's a plant.
It's a medicinal plant that used to get rid of worms.
Antibiotics.
Yeah.
So we'll take some. We'll go to the market and find these herbs, and you'll see if you can to Dubai, trying to test them in different food to see if we can get some flavors.
Okay.
To see things and use it for our body. And yes, because of industrialization and because of the city life, so we disappeared, and we disappeared from our nature. So we're not in touch with ourselves anymore. So that's one of the reasons that we become suspicious of herbals and, you know, holistic approach to life.
What would be your favorite food?
I like the raw meat, straight up raw meat, just cut with some hot sauce. Simple.
And is that beef or?
The beef, yeah. Fresh beef.
So where are you from originally?
From Addis, but I was in the state for 28 years and moved a year ago.
And you've opened up Trist here?
I opened a little Trist here.
So why this coffee shop? You're a barista, right?
I have been a barista, yeah, for a long time, yeah. Since college I've been a barista. So it's something that I know, so I figure I would do what I know. Yeah. I've been trying everything. Tomoka seems the best I can find.
How do you know if it's a good mocha?
Well, I've tried it, almost everything in Addis, and it seems like that's the one I like. Just my taste, yeah. Middle roast. Dark roast is usually for a French press or for Ethiopian home coffees, or a drip regular coffee will be a dark roast. It should be a chocolate color for any machine coffee. So that's the thing here. Everything is a dark roast. People are used to a dark roast. But it shouldn't be. It have that bitter taste, the dark roast in the machine. So I use middle. I go there and tell them how to roast it to my own. So that's why I like to mocha.
From the hustle and bustle of the centre of Addis, we head to the suburbs and Orit's family home.
So as always, every day there is the traditional coffee making, roasting of the coffee, and we're at Orit's house, her family home, and you have the task today to be roasting the coffee, Orit.
Yes, I'm the roast master. Yes.
So these beans, tell me about these beans.
They're actually washed coffee. I think it's from the Sidamo region, and the charcoal, it's always best to slow roast them on a charcoal fire, slowly on a pan.
And where are these beans from?
Sidamo.
Oh, yeah.
Sidamo.
It's where we were last year.
Yes, they're washed coffee, so it's easier to roast, actually. It's always a little longer to roast from the beginning until it gets to the golden color. After that, it roasts faster, so you have to be careful.
So they start off a greeny color. It's very relaxing, just sitting and watching you turning and mixing the beans over the fire.
Yeah, it is. And for even when we roast, it is very relaxing and it forces you to calm down, pay attention. So it's really nice. And the smell, of course, the fragrance of the coffee is really nice. So it's very relaxing.
It's beautiful. And just watching slowly, slowly, the color of the beans changing as they roast.
Yes. Usually we roast a little medium dark. That's the best. If it gets too oily, then you know that you've over roasted the coffee. But if it's too golden color too, I think for our traditional way of drinking coffee, it becomes too light. So you have to be careful to when you roast, it's dark mid brown. That's the color we're going for today.
And as they're roasting, they are getting a little bigger in size.
Yes, when the coffee beans start roasting, they lose the moisture, so they become bigger but much lighter in terms of weight. If you try to roast a kilo of coffee, you'll get you lose about 18 to 20% each time we roast because of the moisture content leaving. Size-wise, they become much bigger. It's like almost like a popcorn. You know, we always forget that coffee is a fruit. You know, it's the fruits, beans inside, you know, so it's a cherry. So this is why.
It comes from the cherry.
Yes, it comes from the cherry. And so if green beans, if you plant, you should be able to get a tree. So this is why. It's almost like popping a popcorn, roasting a popcorn.
So we were talking before about your trip, what you were hoping to do with Boone Coffee. So how's that gone?
It's going well. It's going well. You know, Ethiopia has so much selection of specialty coffee. It's really hard to choose which one to bring in.
over 5 types of coffees have been classified in Ethiopia. So trying to choose which coffee will do well for next year, it's very hard to predict. And all of them really taste really good. And you just have to figure out which to take this year. And that's a hard task for me. So we'll be making that in the next couple of weeks.
You've been buying through the unions here in Ethiopia and in Addis. You're now looking at dealing directly with some of the farms.
Yes, the unions are great to get, especially to get certification for both organic and fair trade. When you buy from the union, it's you're guaranteed at least some of the money is going back to the farmers. However, when you buy from farms, you get traceability coffee. But this is ready now. So it's in the darker side of brown. But you make sure it doesn't get black.
So you're pouring that onto a silver tray, the beans.
Yes. And usually, you have after you roast, you have to take it to everybody who's going to drink the coffee and show them so they can approve.
I'll do that.
And they get a whiff of the smell.
Oh, just lovely, yes. Waft the aroma over.
Yes, and now you grind it. Now it'll be
okay,
ready.
And then it goes into the grinder to grind. And there's one we made earlier. And so when it's ground like this, beautiful, fine grind, what do? You put it into the...
Jabana, and then we put cold water and let it boil. As soon as it starts boiling, you could let it down. You let it settle because you want the ground coffee on the bottom. So when you pour the coffee, it'll be just pure coffee without any ground coffee in your mouth. So for Ethiopian coffee, you can't have ground coffee. So that's why you have to wait till 5 minutes to let it settle.
So the coffee's drunk and lunch prepared, and I'm treated to dishes like a leche wat, a lamb with turmeric and potato, an atkilt, a vegetable dish with cauliflower, green beans and courgettes, all fresh from the market that day. We sit cross-legged on the floor, eating from the big pans, and then it's time for a taste of honey. In the beginning, I was sent on a mission by Riyad Hamid, the founder of Balkis Honey, to source the white honey of the northern part of Ethiopia with Orit, and I succeeded and returned to Addis armed with the liquid gold. Orit's sister, Muna, has been busy in the kitchen working her magic.
The honey has been used in the cooking. So Muna, Orit's sister, who's the cook in the family home. So what do we have here, Muna?
We have the spetoluk. This is a small pastry that's deep fried and drizzled by honey.
Is it cardamom in there?
Not cardamom. We use a cinnamon stick.
It's absolutely delicious. Is this from your...
From our tribe, from Harari tribe. We use it a lot for Ramadan time.
I've had something very, very similar in Dubai.
Yes, they do have very similar pastries in Dubai, but usually in Dubai they use rose water to drip it instead of honey. Mm. But in Ethiopia, because we have a lot of honey, we use honey to dip it.
Now, which honey have you used today for this?
I think we used the Harari honey, the Harari white honey.
Ah, so you have your white honey, don't you?
Yes, we do. And it's much lighter, liquidy than the Tigray.
Beautiful. Okay, so what else we got here?
This is mulowa. This is pan fried, and we use butter, and we pan fry it, and we just cut it up and drizzle with honey too.
But what is this, like a pancake?
It's very similar to burrata.
Burrata.
In Dubai.
That's good.
Yeah, it's not. This one is pan fried.
Yeah.
So we... This is more healthy.
And what's in the middle?
Just the dough itself. Mm. And just honey, that's all.
Gosh, this is very Moorish, goodness me. But you do have to watch it because it is fried, right?
No, actually, no. This one has, see, it doesn't have a lot of oil. Mm. It's not deep fried. And this is eaten for breakfast, as opposed to the douce betuluk, which is a dessert piece. This, every morning, well, in the mornings, we can have this.
It's almost like a pancake, really.
Yes, yes. So it's not deep fried, so it doesn't contain a lot of oil. But when you do make it, you make it with some butter.
Very nice with coffee, I would say.
Yes.
Yes. And the third one is coming now.
Oh, I've got another one coming.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, lovely. Thank you. more dishes have been produced from the kitchen. What have we got here, Muna?
This is beso, and this is barley powder, or roasted barley powder that mixed with honey and butter.
Wow, okay. And this, again, is this from your tribe?
No, it's not. It's the whole Ethiopian tribe.
Yeah, it's very popular in Ethiopia for breakfast. It's for everyone, and every parts of Ethiopia have beso.
Okay, so it's really well known across the country.
Yeah, they use it for energy. Yeah,
yeah, good sort of for the breakfast. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So more voices of the sisters of Orit. So that. So is it?
Yes. Yes. It means morning in Harare.
Oh, does it?
Yes. I morning. Was born in the morning, and I was the first one to ever be called Sozit.
You're the eldest.
Yes.
So were you born under a full moon, Muna? If you're Muna, I don't know. What's
No, my name is Muna, which means my wish in Arabic.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes.
Good. Glad you're all helping each other out with your names.
Because we are eating.
Okay, let's try this. Okay.
Most people use this for when they travel a long way because it doesn't get spoiled. It stays for days and days, and you don't need to refrigerate it, and it's a good source of energy.
It's like a cake-like almost, but you can tell it would be good for breakfast. Very satisfying.
And very healthy.
Really healthy. We just love honey so much. Beautiful. For pictures of my trip, go to the blog at dubaii1038.com/special features, and you can find more information on Boone Coffee and Balqis Honey in the UAE. Lasting memories? While entering the honey room in the remote house of Mr. Alumo and discovering the white honey for the first time, the children, the hives high up in the hills, and the beautiful white flowers and the healthy honeybees who mean so much to us and the health of our environment. And as always, the fine hospitality of the Ethiopian people in the northern Tigray region and in the capital Addis Ababa. ¶¶